Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's March 11th, 2024. It's a Monday and a beautiful one here in Maine, and I hope it's a beautiful one where you are, and I apologize for turning the music off so abruptly, but what can I tell you? Just gives us more time with our guests. I've got Dr. Kristen Vogel-Campbell here today. She's the coordinator of special education in San Mateo Foster City School District out in California, but she's also written a book called Partnering with Culturally and Linguistically Diverse Families in Special Education. And this is important because it's hard enough to do special education these days, but dealing with kids who come from a different culture, obviously different language, okay, you have to learn how to do it in a different way, okay? And we have to learn how to make sure that the parents understand how they work through the system, et cetera, because there are cultural differences involved in that too. So Kristen's going to be with us today. We'll talk about her book. and I do have it linked over here on the site if you'd like to. Just a copy. I hope you do. All right. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website for our Consortium for Equity in Education. And we're going to, we have everything over there, our magazine, all the news that's interesting, our Equity Awards program, all the podcasts, et cetera. It's all free for you. I hope you go over. It's the American Consortium for Equity in Education at ace-ed.org. And with that, enough of me blabbing. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing?
I am fine. How are you? Where are you today? Are you out in California?
I am. I am in San Francisco, and it is not raining for once, so we're very, very happy about that.
That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear it, and I hope it's a sunny day. It's actually sunny, a little breezy, but for you to be freezing cold, it's like 30 degrees here in Maine today. So no snow, even on the ground. It's unbelievable. Okay, what can I tell you? Like the planet is changing, especially here in Maine. Okay, and I hope your day stays nice and dry out there, Kristen. I really do.
Well, thank you.
You know, I talked about the book, and again, it's linked to your partnering with culturally and linguistically diverse families and special education. Your coordinator of special education, you must have seen a lot of this. Obviously, it's a very diverse community out there in San Mateo, etc. What inspired you to write the book? After how, you know, what was it? Was there all of a sudden you wow, we really need this? What happened? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, the way that systems work in general, they're set up for a very specific group of people. And I have yet to find or actually like meet that group of people where systems work perfectly for. But you know,
that's a great line. That's a great line. That group of people doesn't exist. That's funny. Yeah.
I mean, it's the truth. For families that are meeting us where they are, if they are coming with a language other than English, whether, you know, they are dealing with housing issues, if they're unhoused, if they are dealing with, you know, if they're undocumented, if it's a single parent household or it's a, you know, multi-generational household where auntie or grandma is the, you know, person who's in, you know, charge of the education, you know, it's our job and our duty to accommodate and to understand like where our parents are coming from so that we can meet them so that their child can be successful.
It really and truly is. And your line a minute ago, and so true, reminds me, you know, we developed a system for people who don't actually exist. And, you know, it reminded me of Catch-22. I don't know if you ever read that book where Major, okay, is the camp psychologist, but he'll only see people when he's not in. Okay, it's that kind of a thing. Yeah, you know, and we got to develop a system that actually works. All right, and as I always say, the customers are changing in education. Okay, what's there now wasn't there 40 years ago. Okay, it's a different world. Okay, the teachers have changed, the kids have changed, the families have changed, the demographics have changed. All right, and you must have seen all of this. Okay, as you were coordinator of special education in San Mateo, and just talk to us about the demographics of San Mateo schools, Foster City as well, I might add.
Yeah, so our school district is wonderfully diverse. I believe that, you know, our most recent demographics, about 40% of our students are Latinx, Latino. And then we have, you know, 20 or 25% of our students are Asian. We have about the same of white students. And then the remainder are Pacific Islander, African American, Native American as well.
It's a nice diversity, I got to tell you. Okay. So what's your recommend? Let me just get – I think what you're most concerned about, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay, is how these – if I may, the kids and the parents get involved in the IEP process, okay, and how they understand it and how we help walk them through it. If I may, it's kind of like applying for a mortgage. You do that for the first time. You don't know how anybody's ever going to give you 400 grand or 500 grand, but the, somehow the system, somehow it works. So if there are 5,000 pieces of paper that nobody reads or understands anyway, okay? So there's got to be a way to guide people through, and I think that's what your main concern is. How do we get people to understand the process? And I have to say something else. You know, I know you're concerned about linguistically different people, but there's also culturally different, because in a lot of cultures, parents are afraid to talk to the school. The school is a place of great authority. Okay, we're in the United States with people to talk to the school, but that just doesn't happen. Okay, all the time without a little bit of help. All right, there's a lot of different ways to go through this, and just talk about what your main concern is. Having parents understand their kids may need special ed or how they go about the process. I think that's your target of your concern, and it's a good target.
Yeah, that really is kind of the root issue that I try to address.
Thank you, Major. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I would say that it's not so much fear as it is just deference to authority, like you said, where parents don't necessarily feel that they have the agency to challenge what they consider a professional. At the end of the day, parents are the best experts for their child. And again, when I say parents, I mean, you know, any family member who takes that like main role of caring for children. I think what's difficult is that, you know, school staff, special education staff, teachers, school psychs, speech pathologists. We have so many IEPs throughout the year, and I don't think that, you know, we go into it with the same level of impact that a parent does. You know, by law, a parent, you know, has one IEP a year. They can call an IEP at any time, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, sometimes that one meeting is the majority of the face time that they get with school professionals. And I think that we need to kind of refocus and remember that, you know, this is just, you know, meeting three or four on the books for us today. But reminding ourselves, like, why we're here. And so I think, you know, helping parents navigate through special education and through the IEP process, instead of handing them, you know, like a stack of papers that's 15 pages long and going, here you go, do you have any questions? I mean, anyone's eyes are going to glaze over completely. So I think it's just being very explicit and walking them through what each of these things means. Like what all the, you know, not using acronyms, like teachers in education, like we use acronyms all the time, but,
<we do>.
You know, defining what we're talking about. And then, you know, always assuming positive intent, but not assuming that a parent knows everything that we're talking about, because we, you know, went to school and we have the certifications for it, but explaining it and giving them the ability to effectively participate so that they can, like, be part of that decision-making process.
And I think that's all wonderful, but I have to be the devil's advocate for 1 second, okay? And help me out with this, all right? Shortages of staff, okay? I don't know if you're facing that, and probably you are in special ed like everybody else is, okay? Yeah, I'm San Mateo. But we seem to be having more kids who need IEPs and less special ed professionals and less counselors, if I may, okay, mm-hmm. to help them along, okay? And while I agree with you 100% about what is needed, okay, how do we do it in this day and age? And I know you thought about that because you're the coordinator of special ed. How
yeah.
do you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was a classroom teacher for over a decade, so I absolutely understand.
Yeah, by the way, all special ed teachers go to heaven, just so you know that. They do? They do?
I'm sorry?
All special ed teachers go to heaven, absolutely, 100%.
Yes. So I think that, you know, this isn't just something that is on teachers and school psychs and counselors. Site administrators, district administrators, state education boards, they need to see the importance of bringing people yeah. in and, you know, hiring more staff, paying teachers more.
Yeah.
Like, come on, like, we need to absolutely pay teachers more. We need to
absolutely.
Encourage, you know, younger folks, like, to go into education.
Absolutely.
You know, someone that's looking for a second career, like, let's use your skills and assets and bring it into education. But there are policies and procedures that can be changed at the district level, the county level, the state level, that can make it easier for both parents and teachers to do this. So it's not the weight of the world and all of the responsibility on the teachers. I'm not saying teachers, you need to do this, this, and this without any support.
No, I know that.
It's, yeah, and then it's okay, like principals, superintendents, you know, state Board of Education.
Yeah,
like,
well, let me just make the point. What you're advocating is a good thing. Don't misunderstand.
Yeah.
What you're advocating is terrific. We got to give people the mm-hmm. time they need to understand this process. All right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the time on the other side. Even for
mm-hmm.
parents, it's tough these days. Okay? And, you know, and maybe I'll ask it a different way. Okay? Quick fix. What can we do? You must have thought about
yep.
this, okay? You must have the
yeah,
same problem.
Yeah.
What can be done? Again, this is in your book. What can be done to, I'm going to say, hasten along, make the process easier for everybody?
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to be frustrated like this, okay? It's really important everybody understands it. Go ahead. What are the quick fixes?
Yeah, absolutely. Quick fixes. Kristen. Quick fixes that don't cost any money and that are quick and time efficient. Make sure that parents get paperwork before the meeting as much as possible. Make sure that your district has forms translated into all of the languages
yeah,
that parents
yeah.
need.
Yeah.
And
wow.
a really simple thing is a family in your classroom speaks a language other than English. Learn some simple greetings because that level of respect
oh, that's sweet.
Will
that's nice.
Bring
yep.
them in. And that just helps develop a level of trust. So, you know, we have Google Translate. We have Duolingo. We have, like, lots of little things like that. You know, have some flashcards. It's a little gesture on our part, but I've seen parents' faces light up even when you say good morning or thank you or have a great day.
It's so important. And I want to ask the opposite question on that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How does a teacher – just a regular classroom teacher. Now, they're pretty good at spotting kids who may need help in some area. All right, I'll use special ed as an example. They can see it. Okay, and in some countries, I guess special ed doesn't even exist. Okay, they might not even know what it is. A family. So, how does a teacher, okay, work with a kid? Okay, who is multicultural, let's say they speak in a different language, they're a little bit shy, they just come in. What should a teacher do? How does a teacher react with your department, okay, to make sure that things are moving along, to get things going? It's a tough question because, and it's not just, by the way, this is not just in San Francisco, a multi-diverse city. This is all
right,
over the country.
Right.
You've got people in rural Iowa. Okay, who are dealing with this every day, teachers in rural Iowa who are dealing with kids from different cultures as people come into the community, and it's a culture challenge. Okay, go ahead,
mm-hmm.
Chris.
Yeah. So for our students, for our teachers that are welcoming newcomer students into their classroom, and they see some issues, it, we need to be really careful that we're not jumping to assuming that it's a disability, that, you know, it takes several years. It takes several years to acquire a new language. And I think that the strain and the challenge on those school districts in Iowa, like you said, is that this is really new over the past couple of years. Our school psychologists are the experts in being able to determine if there's a language difference and a language disability. And so a general ed teacher that has a newcomer, reaching out to that psychologist, if there's, you know, one in the district or one day a week that the school psychologist is at your school, bringing it up with the, with your site leader. And also, I think that all school districts should look into what's called Universal Design for Learning, which is a kind of multimodal way of instruction that includes visuals so that students who are learning English have an additional kind of edge to picking up some of the content. They're not having to just try and translate like in the moment. They see the visual, so it provides some type of context. So I would say, you know, general ed teachers, like, they're getting the majority of our newcomer students, and school districts need to build up that program as well.
They do, and I have to ask you this, because I say this. Customers are changing out there. The kids are different than they were 20 years ago, 5 years ago before the, by the way, today is the fourth anniversary. I can't believe it's only the fourth of the beginning of the pandemic. I don't know if you know that. Isn't that weird? It seems like it was a million years ago for some reason. I don't know. Just weird to me when I heard that.
Well, I have so many more gray hairs because of the pandemic. I don't forget.
We all do. All right. And, but it's amazing. Just 4 years. Okay. Wow. What a difference. Yeah, I have to ask you this. You know, the kids are changing. All these needs are changing. And you must notice this. You have to hire the teachers, okay? I'll call in this case special ed. Is special ed training changing, okay? As in other words, are the colleges changing to as they see the needs of what's out there right now in terms of teaching the teachers you need? Hello.
Yes and no. I would love for teacher prep programs to change a little bit faster. I think that when I went through teacher prep, you know, a very long time ago, we were experts in paperwork and experts in behavior, and we didn't have as much concentration in the actual curriculum and content. And teachers that are coming out of credentialing and college right now have a much more solid understanding of math and reading and how that connects to disability. So they're doing a really amazing job there. You know, I would like to continue to see that moving in the direction of being, you know, curriculum specialists first, because we know that, you know, sometimes behaviors come up if a student is bored or disengaged. And if a teacher doesn't have the training or the expertise to teach the subject, it's highly likely that they're not going to be able to engage that student in a way that's going to be meaningful. And you may see behaviors happen.
It's weird. It's an interesting time. And I have to ask you this again. I keep saying this. You're a coordinator of special education, San Mateo Foster City Schools out near San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How is the diverse, and this is important, especially in this case, diversity of teachers, okay? And I know there's a shortage of teachers anyway, okay? But in special ed, let's just talk about that. Are we getting a more diverse group involved in special ed as you hire?
We are getting.
I know you'd love but what's going on?
Yes. Ideally, we would like to see even more diversity.
Of course.
But there are lots of programs in place, especially in California, but in San Mateo County, that will encourage teachers of color to go through credentialing programs and help them with financial support or, you know, giving them like a free ride. We also have partnered with like agencies that will specifically recruit teachers of color. So over the past couple of years, our percentage of teachers of color has significantly increased.
That's great.
You know, we have a large cohort of Asian and Asian Pacific Islander teachers, but knowing that the majority of the students that we serve are Hispanic, Latino, Latinx, however you refer to that group as, that is still where I see a disparity. So we need more teachers that are native Spanish speakers.
Yeah, we do. We do need more, indeed. And you know, is it more important? How do we? What's more important to get kids into special ed and to get the parents to understand it? It used to be that the best advocates for kids with special ed was the parents, and probably still is that, okay, in most cases. But again, with families from other cultures, we said this at the beginning, they may not need. What's the way to reach out to these people and have them understand that this service exists? And it's obviously nothing to be ashamed of, although sometimes people are, unfortunately. There's a reluctance, but it's not supposed to be that way. Okay, but how do you reach out to the parents? Okay, when you see a need.
Yeah. Exactly like you said. You know, there are some families that may have that background knowledge that will approach the school and say, "Hey, I think that there's something up. I would like my child assessed." For families that don't have that background information, it does put more of a strain on teaching staff to be able to kind of see if a kid is hitting benchmarks, and then sitting down with parents and explaining, like, this is what we would like to do. There are also, like, community-based organizations that support and do outreach with families at, you know, churches, at community cultural centers, to kind of help them understand what schooling looks like in the United States. You know, we're not able to, like, connect with all of the families that way. But, you know, we're still working on it and still trying to improve our practices.
Yeah, you know, it's rough out there these days, I got to tell you. It's everything is changing, and you're on top of this so well. You know, it's great to have you back here with us. How else should we end this? Have we covered everything that you think is really important? What did I miss?
I missed anything? We could talk for hours about this particular subject. I think the thing that I appreciate that you brought up was kind of like those, you know, quick changes that are free and not time consuming, that teachers can, you know, put in practice immediately. You know, the shameless plug for my book. I think that the book itself is a really good piece of reflection for teachers. So it is there are parent narratives talking about kind of like the chronological experience of their perspective of how their student came to be designated as special education, the challenges, the highlights. And then at the end of each of those chapters, there's a bunch of reflection questions. So, you know, it's set up for teachers to use in like a professional learning community. Site administrators can use it in like staff meetings to kind of bring up like reflection questions. And I mean, it is also something that would be really useful for teacher and administrator credentialing. Those are some of the folks that I'm connecting with right now.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, I'm thinking as we were talking, you know, when I and again, like you, I went to teacher education through a teacher education a long time ago, and I hate to say it, but in those days there was barely special education, and it certainly was never brought up in any of my education. Okay, and the kids who needed it just sort of disappeared off the face of the earth. It just didn't exist in the old days. Okay, I hate to say it, and you know, things really, really have to change out there. And I'm curious, okay, you wrote the book. The book's a year old now. What are you hearing from the heartland about all this? And we talked about Iowa before. We can go down any of the states. You know, are you hearing that things are changing, or are you hearing that things are tougher than ever? Just anecdotally. What are you hearing?
Wow. Yeah, I think that it's more challenging and a little bit easier as we go along.
Good.
With school districts, I think are making a deeper commitment to professional development to support diverse learners, and every identity that you can think of falls into diverse.
I think
we need to have some more like discrete development about how to work with families, because sometimes interacting with adults is more difficult than working with our kiddos.
It is indeed, and I think we need to incorporate more special ed into generic teacher training. Okay, that I really believe that, because more and more kids need it. Okay, teachers have to understand how to spot the need. Okay, and unless you're trained in special ed, and I really think we've got to look, again, it's a changing world out there. We've got to look at the different way to train teachers, because if they understand it, then they'll go into a classroom, okay, and they'll be better from minute one, instead of waiting for professional development or suddenly realizing your book is out there, okay? Mm-hmm. We've got to make sure they understand it from minute one, what they're getting themselves into, okay? And if you understand it, you're a lot better off.
Students that don't qualify for special education, not one student learns the same way. So
good point.
Traditional teaching styles where teachers sitting behind a desk, teachers like writing on the chalkboard and lecturing, like that doesn't work. We need to get as many kids as possible engaged so that they can feel successful and they can, succeed and thrive through their educational career.
And you just mentioned something that none of the teachers know anymore is a chalkboard. Is there a chalkboard anywhere?
Do
you still have chalkboards in the school? Are they still there?
No, we don't. But, I was thinking of that, like, traditional teacher. And
exactly.
The first thing I thought of was a chalkboard. Yeah. Yep.
I know. That's what I think of, too. My standing –
whiteboard.
If people don't understand what's going on in educational technology and everything else these days, I always tell them, first rule, don't invest in chalk. Okay?
No.
Things have changed.
No.
It's that simple.
Making boards, whiteboards, interactive boards.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you're on top of this, and you got your heart in the right place with just the lucky to have you in San Mateo. I got to tell you, Kristen, it's good stuff.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah.
I mean it sincerely. Okay? It's all about multicultural education. So I appreciate what you do. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course.
Okay. You take care. Have a good San Francisco day. You got the whole day ahead of you. It's only 8 in the morning.
It is. Thank you.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The incredible Kristen Vogel Campbell. And I have her book linked up here. And, share it with people. All right? We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.